Translation. He is the super soul and the supreme lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. So being revered with awe and veneration, may that supreme absolute be pleased with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, although the Lord of all followers of different paths of self-realization, is knowable only by those who are above all pretensions. Everyone is searching for eternal peace or eternal life, and with an aim to this destination, everyone is either studying the Vedic scriptures or other religious scriptures, or undergoing severe austerity as empiric philosophers, mystic yogis, or as unalloyed devotees, etc. But the Supreme Lord is perfectly realized only by the devotees, because they are above all pretensions. Those who are on the path of self-realization are generally classified as karmis, jnanis, yogis, or the devotees of the Lord. The karmis, who are much attracted by fruitive activities of Vedic rituals, are called bhukti-karmi, or those who desire material enjoyment. Jnanis, who try to be one with the Supreme Lord by mental speculation, are called mukti-karmi, or those who desire liberation from material existence. The mystic yogis who practice different types of austerities for attainment of eight kinds of material perfection, and who ultimately meet the Supersoul, Paramatma, in trance, are called siddhi-karmi, or those who desire the perfection of becoming finer than the finest, or becoming heavier than the heaviest, getting everything desired, having control over everyone, creating everything liked, etc. All these are abilities of a powerful yogi, but the devotees of the Lord do not want anything like that for themselves, for self-satisfaction. They only want to serve the Lord because the Lord is great and the living entities are eternally subordinate parts and parcels of the Lord. This perfected realization of the self by the devotee helps him to become desireless, to desire nothing for his personal self, and thus the devotees are called nishkama, not nishkami, without any desire. A living entity, by his constitutional position, cannot be void of all desires. Bhukti-karmi, mukti-karmi, siddhi-karmi, all desire something for personal satisfaction. But the nishkama devotees of the Lord desire everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. They are completely dependent on the orders of the Lord and are always ready to discharge their duty for the satisfaction of the Lord. In the beginning, Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desire self-satisfaction. He desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but made him desireless. The Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita in the ways of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and also Bhakti Yoga were explained. But, because Arjuna was without pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight, and thus became desireless. The examples of Brahma and Shiva are specifically cited here because Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Srimati Lakshmiji, and the four Kumaras are leaders of the four desireless Vaishnav Sampradayas. They are all free from all pretensions. Srila Jiva Goswami interprets the word Gatyavaktyahi as Projita Ketava, or those who are free from all pretensions, the unalloyed devotees only. In the Te Chandramita Madhya 19.149, it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Santa Bhakti Mukti Sudhi Kami Sakadaha Santa. Those who are after fruit of results of their pious activities, and those who desire salvation, identify with the Supreme. Those who desire material perfections of mystic power are all restless because they want something for themselves. But the devotee is completely peaceful because he has no demand for himself, is always ready to serve the desire of the Lord. The conclusion is, therefore, that the Lord is for everyone, because no one can achieve the result of his respective desires without his sanction. As stated by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 8.9, all such results are awarded by him only. For the Lord is at Ishvara, the original controller of everyone, namely the Vedantists, the great Karmakandas, the great religious leaders, the great performers of austerity, and all who are striving for spiritual advancement. But ultimately, he is realized by the potentiallessness devotees only. Therefore, special stress is given to the devotional service of the Lord by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Om Agyanarandasya Agyanaslakaya Tatsyo Lamina Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. I was born the doctor in this much bishop. Bhakti Chumarashi Tinan is Gorguin Maharaji. Krishna. So, where was I? Oh, yeah. Where is it now? Sorry. So, this verse obviously is many things in this verse, but the conclusion is that we have to become desireless from all material desires. This is what it means to be desireless. As it says in the purport, nobody can avoid being desireless. So all we have is to just change our material desires into the spiritual desires to satisfy the Supreme Lord Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the result of two personalities, one who had a desire, a material desire, and one who didn't. So the first one, of course, was Dhruva Maharaj, who has a material desire to have a kingdom even bigger than his grandfather. And even after getting darshan of Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu, he realized that my material desires are completely like glass, nothing. But as it says in the purport here, Krishna sanctioned that material desire. And he had to suffer for 36,000 years. Then the second example is Prahlad Maharaj, who had no material desire. Even when Narasimhadi killed Hiranyakashipu, he just desired that his father, Hiranyakashipu, be liberated. He had no thought for himself. He didn't. So this is why in Jagannath Puri, at Toti Gopanath, Lord Caitanya, when he would be hearing the Bhagavatam from Gada Pandit, he would always, sometimes Gada Pandit would request Lord Caitanya, he would say, "Well, my Lord, what would you like to hear from the Bhagavatam?" And he said, "About Dhruva and Prahlad Maharaj." He said, "But many times you've heard this, but I want to hear it again." So I understand from this is that Lord Caitanya, being the embodiment of mercy, he wanted to us to understand that the devotees should be always thinking of trying to serve the Supreme Lord Krishna, and nothing for themselves. So, of course, in the beginning of the purport, I was talking about self-realization. Now, I forget what day it was on, but what verse. Shama Sundar Prabhu gave class. And in that top of that, the beginning of that purport, there was three steps of self-realization. I think it's 46, I think. No, 16. It is described that the first step is in the Bhagavad Gita. The first step is, as Krishna was explaining, confidential knowledge. The second step was more confidential knowledge. And the third step, which is full self-realization, is the most confidential knowledge, which is the three verses in 18th chapter, 64, 65, and 66. So, this confidential knowledge, so why is it most confidential knowledge? So we know what the verse is. We all know this famous verse. Sarva dharma braja mam ikam savam braja ham matvam sava prebyo mokshami amusacha. But if one studies the synonyms of this verse, we can see why it is the most confidential knowledge. Because sarva-dharman, all varieties of religion, paritraja, abandoning mam unto me, ikam only, saram, surrender, praja, go, aham, I, tvam, you, sava, all, prebya, from sinful reactions, mokshami, will deliver, ma, do not, sucha, worry. So we can see, it's as Srila Prabhupada writes, a synonym for surrender. And then it says braja, which means Jemini Vrindavan. To go, it says go here. To go to Vrindavan. So after Krishna recited the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield. Arjuna, he did go. He said, he's just following this instruction. Braja, go. But he could not enter Vrindavan in that body. He had to enter as Arjuna Gopi. He had to enter. I forget the full pastime now. And then later, he came back to Arjuna. So that verse is talking about surrender. Now, last Monday week, it was the appearance day at Bhaktivedanta Swati Thakur, and in the evening, there was it was also the disappearance of His Holiness Gaugaur Vinda Maharaj. So there was a class, instead of the Bhagavad Gita class, they arranged one of his classes on the screen. And that class reminded me of what this life is all about. This human form of life, is to attain the prema bhakti or braja bhakti. And but then during the class, I had the realization that because we are identifying with this material body, we're thinking, I am male, I am female, I am this color, I am that color, I am from this country, I'm a manager, I'm an accountant, I'm in this position, I am that position. But then my realization was, because at the time of death, all those identities will be buried 6 foot under or be burnt in the cremation ground. So this is what pretending is. While we're identifying with the material body, we are pretending that we are something that we're not. Because at the time of death, all these will just disappear. And depending on our consciousness at the time of death, we will get a new body, definitely. But what type of body will we get? Will it be animal body, just like Bharat Maharaj meditating on a deer? And Jai Sri Radha Gokulanda, Shanamanjai Sri Gonitai. And because he was meditating on a deer, he got a deer's body. Even though in that body, he was still Krishna conscious due to the mercy of his spiritual master. Or we can get a spiritual body. So it all depends on our consciousness. So then, this surrender or saganagrati, as Govinda Maharaj would he would often repeat it. He would say, and in this class he repeated it a few times. He said, if you want Krishna 50%, you'll get Krishna 50%. If 60%, you'll get Krishna 60%. If your surrender is 50%, you'll get Krishna 50%. If your surrender is 60%, you'll get Krishna 60%, and so on like this. Then he went on to explain that our surrender has to be full surrender. Complete 100% surrender. And of course, the best and the highest the highest, of course, is the love of the gopis. That's the highest form of surrender we can to attain. So yesterday's purport, I'm going back to the bottom of yesterday's purport. It's a long purport, so the speaker probably didn't have time to mention this, but the conclusion is that the Lord, being all powerful, can under and every circumstance accept everyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Caitanya accepted many followers from communities other than the Vanashramtis. And he himself declared to teach us he does not belong to any caste or any social order of life. But he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. This is the way of self-realization. So, self-realization means that the jiva, he understands their relationship with Krishna. The jiva knows the relationship with Krishna. When he understands that relationship with Krishna and acts on that relationship, he's engaged in bhakti or devotional service according to that relationship he has with Krishna. And then once he's engaged in that relationship in bhakti with Krishna, the jiva then attains the ultimate goal of life, prajna, which is prema bhakti or praja bhakti. Now, in Prabhupada's first book, does anybody know whose Prabhupada's first book is? Sorry? No. This is before Prabhupada formed ISKCON. It's called The Ultimate Goal of Life, which was found. There was one Narasimha Maharaj. He, of course, after Prabhupada left, Radha Damodar, he also lived in the same room as Srila Prabhupada did. And there was two trunks, and then he opened one of them and he found this manuscript called The Ultimate Goal of Life. He read it and he kept it. And he shared it with someone. He said, you should get this book printed. So he got it printed. It's not on the ISKCON calendar book list, but you can get it in Vrindavan anyway. So it's a conversation between Ramananda Roy and Krishna. Sorry, Ramananda Roy and Lord Caitanya. We know the conversation. So then in the beginning, Ramananda Roy is asked a question by Lord Caitanya. What is the goal of life? And he says, Lord Caitanya asks, what is the goal of life? Ramananda Roy said, the Vanashram. And Lord Caitanya, as Prabhupada says, he rejects it or doesn't accept it, because Lord Caitanya, he did not come to give Vanashram, he came to give Praja Bhakti, Praja Prem, to the whole world. But as I heard the other day, Projana, he mentioned to me that he heard a class by Srila Prabhupada, and he mentioned that Vaishnavas, or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they are above Vanashram. But the reason it's established is to bring the non-devotees or the karmis up to the human level, human standard of life. But as devotees, we're above Vanashram. And so then the devotees who are surrendered, full surrender, as I said earlier, that if we are 50% surrendered, we get 50% Krishna, like this and so on. But then he said, Govind Maharaj would always say, if we're not fully surrendered, our surrender is conditional, partial, or artificial. We have to be fully surrendered, 100%. But the question came to me some years back. So who do we surrender to? We have to surrender to the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is the Krishna's representative. And we sing every morning Yashas Prasada, Bhagavat Prasado. And in that translation, the spiritual master is called Shakshad Hari. And in the translation, they say he is not different from Bhagavan. So what does this mean? Vishnu Chakravarti is saying the spiritual master is Bhagavan. Yes, he is Bhagavan, but he's the Bhagavan. He's the Sevaka Bhagavan. He's the one who serves the Bhagavan who's to be served. That's why he's almost the same as Bhagavan. He's the spiritual master is Bhagavan Sevaka. And Bhagavan, as Lord Krishna, is a savior to be served. So this is why we worship the spiritual master. And this is why we pay obeisance to him, because he is Bhagavan, but he is the one who's serving Bhagavan. And the one who serves Bhagavan, who's worshipped, then that Bhagavan who is to be served manifests himself the instructions, or manifests himself as a spiritual master. So Govinda Maharaj always used to say as well, first become Guru Das, then become Krishna Das. So we show love towards the spiritual master, then we can, and then by his mercy, that spiritual master will actually reveal Krishna to us. So I'll stop there. Any questions, or I'll try to answer.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Guru. You mentioned we're above Varnashram, devotees are above Varnashram.
Yeah, yeah.
So then why did Prabhupada emphasize it so much? He said 50% of my work was not done. If we're above Varnashram, then why do we have to do it?
This I do not know. I could speculate. I can't. I don't want to speculate. So.
Goodness. So if you're in passion and ignorance, because you're a devotee, doesn't mean you're naturally in the mode of goodness. We're aiming for that.
Okay.
So, of course, practicing spiritual life is the fastest way to get to goodness. Anyway, that's my understanding.
Yeah, fine.
We're not transcendental yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Any more?
On Varnashram as well, that even if we are transcendental, we still follow Varnashram.
Yeah, we still follow.
Yeah.
But it's material. It's in this book, Srila Prabhupada said it's material. It's material.
Yeah.
We still follow.
And it says that it makes everything easier as well, that it's the highest social system, and it's in Goloka Vrindavan as well. That's the social system in the spiritual world.
That's interesting. This is why Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur Prabhupada, all the brahmacharis in the mat, you know, they had saffron cloth. But they were chanting in white, with white japa bags, to show that japa is not, does not belong to Varnashram. And the gopis, they were also, they still followed some Vedic, even though they gave up their Vedic Dharma, but they were 100% surrendered. So Govinda Maharaj used to say often, you cannot surrender without love. No love, no surrender. No complete surrender. So this is the reason why he gave that the example of full complete surrender to the gopis. They gave up everything. They gave up everything just to please Krishna. And this is mentioned in the purport a few times, where so we should try to come to that platform where we can give up all material desires, material destinations, and just become devoid of all material desires, and just to satisfy Krishna. And then at the end of this life, then we can go to Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Yeah, devotional service, yeah. Yeah, but as Prabhupada says in this book, it's material. It's still material. No, it won't give it to Krishna now.
It's a devotional service is going to get you to transcend. It's not Parnashram.
This is why then that purport Prabhupada's stressing devotional service for. And this purport had just finished. The importance of devotional service.
A devotional service starts in mode of goodness.
Yeah.
So therefore Parnashram gets you to mode of goodness.
Yeah.
So it's needed in one sense until you get to goodness.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But then devotional service can also get to goodness.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about that.
Thank you, Prabhu. The link in the Varnashrama Dharma is love of God. No one wants to become a member of a Varnashram that is going to fail like the previous one because love of God was not there. And Prabhupada gave us the perfect system where everybody in Varnashram is a devotee of Krishna, whether you are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, anything, you must be a devotee of Krishna. End of story. So whatever externally you are doing is your Varna, Ashram. But you must be a devotee, so all of them will connect with love of God. That cup inside has to overflow for everybody else because otherwise no one wants to be a Shudra. No one wants to be a low class or this. Once you have experienced the taste of the holy name and the association of the pure devotees, you don't want to go and unless there is that link of love of God, then you will do anything for Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you want me to be a Shudra? Sure, I'll be anything for you. That is Daivi Varnashram, and that's what Prabhupada wanted to establish in the devotee community. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can remember one morning letter to some, I forget, it's a few days ago. It's a letter from one of Prabhupada's letters. He said, talking about Varnashram, he said, it is difficult in this age to establish. Difficult, very difficult. But he said, if you just follow the regulative principles of devotional service, your life will be perfect. 16 rounds, and no meat eating, no intoxication, etc., etc. Morning, you know, listen to Bhagavatam, then your life would be perfect. But he said, but Varnashram in this Kali Yuga is very difficult to establish.
There might be a simple answer to this, but I'm a bit confused by the Varnashram, because I don't think in practice we actually follow Varnashram, because if we were, for example, we're all here. There are many people who are Brahmin initiated. They might be accountants. They might be doing different things,
yeah.
And they go on the altar, or we go. For example, we work on the farm. I don't think anyone goes, well, you are a Shudra.
Yeah.
You went on the altar. I don't think we ever use that kind of language, so I always find it slightly confusing. Yes, we have Varnashram, but
yeah.
Do we actually in practice follow it? Because we all, you know, endeavor to be Brahmin initiated, we endeavor to... But then the Brahmins clean the temple, which is maybe something that in kind of the, you know, tradition of Varnashram, you'd think a Shudra would do that.
I can remember one time Parashuram some years back. You know, Parashuram in Kartik time, he goes around Vrindavan with his own oxen and cart. So they go from village to village. They don't do the Vajmandal, he does his own. So everybody has to do any service. Even one time, Mahavishnu Swami Maharaj was there. And the English Mahavishnu Swami was there. And he's a sannyasi, the top of the ashram. But he even mucked in, lining up the oxen and feeding the oxen. So a devotee, in that sense, is above Vanashram. He will muck in wherever is needed to do. Is that okay? Yeah. So, anything else? Kantaraj in Bhagavatam Kijaya.